Mrs. Moxie, you're wanted in the studio, please.
I'll be right there, darling.
Yes, Queen, go Queen, dip it like a Dairy Queen. Put your inhibitions in a big U-Haul. Goodwill Gucci, wear my Chattahoochee's. Out in the country, honey, y'all means all.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Out in the Open with the Moxies on 95.1 FM KYMN, the 1, 1080 AM. How are you doing today, Mrs. Moxie?
I'm good. How are you, babe?
I am doing very well, thank you. I'm a little shaky here being in the producer seat for the first time, but you know what? Fake it till you make it.
You're good. You press record, you edit, we do it all.
Thank goodness for Rich being so patient with us and teaching us the ropes.
Exactly. This is what I'm going to tell you, because you tell me this every time we go to a drag event. You say, just breathe. You're going to be fine. Gonna be fine.
I know, it's just so much easier when you're not in charge of things to be able to say that.
I'm gonna tell you something else. Put your high heels on and walk like a big girl, okay? You got this.
High heels hurt.
Exactly. Well, we have a wonderful edition today. This is actually a special one. We have friends/client all rolled into one. Longtime acquaintances, I guess you could say, even. And we're going to have a great episode. I call this episode, let's just name it Parenting with Kindness. This is all about parenting and being true and authentic and leading with your heart when it comes to parenting and making sure your child gets the right education and the life that they love and everything like that. So, but before we get into really the meat and potatoes of this episode, we are actually going to listen to one of my new favorite songs. It's called Lost, It's a Lure. It's by Sam Williams. Have you ever heard of Sam Williams?
I have not, no.
Okay. So to give you a little backstory on Sam Williams, he is actually country music royalty. Back in the day, have you ever heard of Hank Williams?
I've heard of Hank Williams.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So he's the grandson of Hank Williams, which is one of the biggest pioneers in country music.
Yeah, very cool.
And he's also the son of the outlaw legend, Hank Jr.
Mm.
So he's from a long line of American country originals. He sings with his own singular voice and writes in a singular style, fusing gut-wrenching honesty and painful spoken poet kind of visual songs. It's a very vulnerability, deep empathy kind of artist is what I would say.
Okay.
One of my other favorite songs, we're not playing it today, but it's called Tilted Crown. So if you ever get a chance, go listen to Tilted Crown. But he recently just came out fully authentically as himself to GLAAD. He was talking to GLAAD in an interview and he said, the songs are very special to me. I'm at a point in my life where I'm proud to be myself for making it all happen. He says, I think it was important for me to, in my early career, to establish that I was going to be my true authentic self, is what Sam would state to the GLAAD. And I think, you know, more artists could be like that. They could be more authentic so that we can really mm-hmm. see their soul and everything. So
yeah.
To go from that pioneer country artist like Hank Williams all the way down to his now grandson Sam Williams, I think that's just a really cool concept, and I hope you love Sam just as much as I do. So let's start off the show with Sam Williams with Lost It's a Lure.
All right, here we are, Sam Williams on Out in the Open with the Moxies on 95.1 FM KYMN, the 1, 1080 AM.
I came here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, the whole world to my veil. Could see my name in shiny lights. Blessed and highly favored, the sky was cotton candy flavored. But that was back when the dream was mine. For Feels like this life of mine has lost its allure. To know my name, but I think I'm better off unknown. Don't wanna explain the constraints of heartbreak since you went away, but I still put it in my songs. Somehow it all still feels wrong. Sometimes I wish I was still asleep, so I don't have to see the truth standing right in front of me. Like when God takes your best friend and they say it's just a lesson, I think, what the hell am I destined for? Feels like this life of mine has lost its allure. I was still asleep, so I don't have to see the truth that's standing right in front of me. Like when God takes your best friend and they say it's just a lesson, I think, what the hell am I destined for? Feels like this life of mine has lost its allure.
All right, and we are back. So, Mrs. Moxie, we have a very full studio today.
We do.
Yeah, so who do we got here?
First of all, what did you think of that song? What did you think?
I think it is a very beautiful song. It is, as you said, quite raw.
Yeah, and kind of haunting in a way.
A little bit, yeah. But I like it. You know, it's one of those songs that it just really kind of makes you pause.
For just a few minutes to take it all in.
Yep, yeah, I absolutely
agree. Yeah, so we have wonderful guests here. We have three. It's a mom and her two children here. And let's get them to introduce themselves. Let's go right down the row. How about you first?
My name's Dwayne.
Dwayne, how old are you?
9.
You're 9? Very nice. Thank you for coming. And let's see your mom.
I'm Laura.
Laura. All right, perfect. And we have?
My name's Tyler.
Let's try that again. Get close to the mic.
My name's Kyler.
Kyler, yes. Hermanson, yes. This is the family, and they are supporters of us. You've come to a lot of our events, and we thank you for that. And now you get to be on the radio show, because you've been avid listeners, pretty much, throughout this whole process. So I'm just going to ask a few questions. When you first started listening, what was your thoughts, Dwayne? Like, what did you like about the show?
I'm not really sure. I just liked it.
Yeah? You liked it? Because it was different?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you like the music?
Yes.
Oh, good. And Mom, what did you think? I know you and I have talked a lot about it, and you've written a few things for me and give me some insight on things. So I love listening to your words. So what did you think when you started listening to the show?
That it was a much needed voice. Like, it's things that's hard to find in media, and putting it out there, easy access for people, was very needed. And like him, when he finds part of your episode that he likes, he keeps making me replay that same episode.
Oh. So do you have an example of what episode that would be?
When you had your Drake friends on.
I think, pull the mic a little bit. There you go.
When you had your Drake friends on for the first time.
Yeah.
He loved listening to them and just how silly you guys were.
Oh yeah, we're nuts, aren't we? We're crazy. Well, very good. I'm glad you like it. So who's your favorite out of the Drake family that you got to listen to?
I'm not really sure.
Was it Lexi? She's old and crotchety.
It's just hard to pick.
Oh, they're just great personality, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for being here. Again, this episode is called Parenting with Kindness. And we are going to talk about how you, Laura, raise your kids and are making sure that they are living true, authentic lives and also that they are being seen and everything. So in this show, we always kind of have like an outline and everything. And let's just go and kind of let the audience hear who you are. Can you give us a backstory about your family and like where you're from and how did you get to be this close? Because you guys are very close.
Our little central unit is, which has been very interesting. I grew up in Lakeville, moved down to Faribault, was there for a while. Now we're back up in the Lakeville area.
Okay.
Dwayne and Kyler have mainly been in the Lakeville area their whole life.
Very nice.
Met Dad by chance.
Yeah.
But we... I've been working through a lot of trauma in my family that has kind of caused us to come together because of wanting to break that generational trauma, to do things differently.
And that's a lot of work.
It is. Like, there's so much to... when just, like, thinking back on it isn't the same as, like, literally sitting with those feelings and taking your time to process how could we not make that happen again? Or if like those situations were to come up, like what would you do differently? And being definitely on the parent side of this has really shown a different light on things.
Yeah. With your backstory, you're talking about family trauma and everything like that. When did you start that process of analysis or learning what you wanted to change as a parent? Like, was it when all three of the kids were in the world, or did it start with just Kyler? Because I know Kyler's the oldest.
I want to say it started more when Kyler was in like elementary school.
Okay.
So right before Dwayne came into the picture.
Okay.
Because at that point, it was definitely more of a, I can't just kind of process enough to move on. Like, yep. I really need to address this.
Yep, totally. And it's funny because you actually have a third kid that's not here.
Yes, Nolan.
Yep, you have Nolan, the wild child.
Yes.
And, you know, just also praise to you for allowing your kids to come in and do this show, because you are the first ever kid that's ever been on the radio show. You guys get to make great history here. Is that not exciting, Dwayne?
Great out Yay. In the open history.
Yeah, exactly. Kyler gets to be part of it.
Actually, you know, that's something we didn't address really quickly. Dwayne, how old are you?
9.
You're 9? Okay. And Kyler, how old are you? 14.
He's going to be turning 15 on December 7th.
December 7th. Oh, very
coming
nice.
Up. Nice. Well, happy early birthday to you.
Yes, happy early birthday.
And then how old is Nolan?
You said? He's 3.5.
3.5. Oh, wow. So you're really running the gamut here. You got like every age bracket.
Yup. At some point here, we're going to have a high schooler end of elementary and then like a kindergartner in a couple years. Like,
wow.
Just want a chaos.
Yeah. Right?
Exactly. Why not? Right? It's fun. Keeps life interesting.
So when we talk about parenting with kindness, there's a lot of things that go into that. And then that's listening to your child. That's listening to the outside world and how do we protect them and everything. We're not parents. We have fur children. So obviously I can lock my children in cages.
Sorry.
Exactly. But they're my fur children. They're my babies. They're all sisters. It's you.
I'm
three.
Loving Dwayne's expression.
I know,
right?
Dwayne's expressions are awesome.
Sure,
right now.
Sure.
Sure, whatever you say, Mox.
Yeah.
So when we talk about that, how do we go about when a child is starting to express themselves more fluid or changing the norms that we're not used to? Because like me and you are similar, and we like when we were in high school, it was very like cut and dry. The boys were the athletes. The girls were this. Like it was all this. Mm. But like when a child starts going against the norms and like become true and authentic themselves, and you can see them blossom, how was that for you? Like with, because Kyler's Kyler. I mean that with love. It's just Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler's a very boy boy.
Yep. But we have Dwayne, who is just fabulous over here with his sequins and colored hair and everything. Like, you know, what was that process like for you?
I think for me specifically, it was a little easier to go into. Like, I was around, I was in theater.
Yeah.
I was around a lot of the people that expressed themselves differently than the norm, or were the loud, obnoxious kids, you know, like they weren't the typical fit in the box, which I usually think helped me a lot. Now, for their dad, though, that was a big change,
because
he was southern rural town. Like, it definitely was very boy boy stuff.
Where is your husband from?
Blue Earth.
Blue Earth? Okay. Yeah, that is.
I've talked about that town a few times.
You know, I don't really know a lot about it other than it's the home of the Jolly Green Giant. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because people. Minnesota is a very interesting state because I think it's like a lot of states where, you know, the urban and suburban areas, people are, I would say, generally, and I'm painting with a pretty broad brush here, but people are, you know, more open-minded and accepting. But then you do get out into these small towns and it's kind of a different world.
They're
kind
of in their own bubble down there.
A little bit, yeah, because there's a lot of family legacy. There's a lot of, you know, when you meet people, they're like, oh, who's your mom and dad? And you know, like, that's how you can always tell you're in a small town, I feel like. That's like one of the first questions when people meet you. It's like, what's your last name? Who are your parents?
When I was growing up in Lakeville, our church was smaller at the time. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, they'd hear my last name. And they'd be like, so are you so-and-so's kid?
Yeah,
I was like, nope, because my parents aren't that involved in the church. So you're going to guess all of my aunts and uncles first.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So it's a small thing, but it's definitely one of those indicators to me that it's like, this is where lifestyles kind of diverge a little bit, you know?
Yep.
And because people do know everybody, I think on the one hand, it could be great because people are very tight-knit.
Yes.
But then there can be the negatives of that too, with, you know, people being all up in your business and being a little mistrusting if they don't know your last name or they don't know your parents or, you know, so yeah, different world.
So when, just let's go right into it. When did Dwayne start expressing his authenticity? I'm going to call it. Because I've watched him blossom in the last few years. Even more so.
Like three, I want to say.
Three? Okay.
Three was when he really started diving into, like, trying to take my makeup or getting mad if I wouldn't paint his nails when I was doing my nails kind of thing.
Yeah.
But at that point, we had started coming to a reckoning, more so with Corey, about how all this stuff is morally neutral. Mm-hmm. Like, none of it is defining him as a person outside of the fact that he just likes it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not making him any less or any more or weird in the negative way, you know?
Yeah.
With still your child. It's still
Kyler's brother, you know? All
it's
those
just
things.
Another aspect of Dwayne, you know?
I love how Kyler gets so excited about that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's my brother.
Oh, that's so great.
That's so awesome. He may drive you crazy, right, Kyler? But you love him.
That's what siblings are supposed to do. You're supposed to drive each other a little nuts.
Exactly. With that going forward with Corey, what was it like as a spouse trying to help him through those kind of moments?
I mean, the upside was that because I was the one that had more exposure, like I knew how to expose him more, you know?
Right. Yep.
And a lot of it really was just that, was just normalizing it, was just getting used to seeing it all the time. So.
And not fearing it.
Yeah. Well, even that and just like getting rid of the discomfort when it's not even like, I don't fear it, but it just doesn't seem right kind of thing. It was just getting that normalized.
Okay.
So letting him wear what he wants. Like, his first thing that he ever picked out was actually a batch of tutus online.
Okay.
Because it came in a rainbow set.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he wanted all of the colors.
I love it.
So he was obsessed. And like with the nails, he started doing Dwayne was just around the house running with more nails. Like, he got used to it. And eventually now Corey goes out and gets his nails done with me. Like, he'll actually get colors on his nails now.
Corey does?
Really?
Yeah. Very
cool.
Yeah.
That's so great.
He's grown tremendously on
this
journey.
Awesome.
Oh, do you like seeing your dad get his nails done and all the colors that he chooses?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what kind of colors does your dad like to get his nails done?
I'm not really sure.
Does it kind of just change every time? Kind of what he's in the mood for then?
Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. With Dwayne, you said hit one of his first things was a skirt and stuff like that. You know, was there any time, like, when he went to school and stuff that you've witnessed hardship in that?
Not that I personally witnessed. Okay. I did get heads up from his teachers, though, like, if someone was not the nicest and, like, how they went about that.
Yeah.
For the most part, though, like, he was kindergarten when this started.
Okay.
With the tutu. So at that point, he was also very into not caring.
Very.
So it didn't drag him down when someone gave him a hard time, and it didn't stop him from wearing it to school.
That's good.
And Dwayne, have you gone to the same school since kindergarten? Or okay,
preschool.
So
what's
since
that? Preschool?
Since preschool.
Preschool. Okay. Okay. So your kids at school, they've gotten to know you and know these things about you. You know, like, they're pretty used to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes back to that whole normalizing thing. Like, if you just keep getting that exposure to it over and over again, at some point it is just going to start to become whatever, you know, and it won't even hardly faze you anymore. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're
Mind blown.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause you're in fourth grade now. I'm taking a guess here.
Third.
Okay.
I like how he shows you with his hand and we're on radio. Dwayne, did you ever get picked on? Do you remember being bullied or anything like that? Or have your friends been pretty supportive?
I've been bullied before. I just don't remember when.
Okay.
Yeah.
But your friends support you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Even Lincoln.
Even what?
Even Lincoln.
Who's Lincoln?
Like, he's been my friend since kindergarten.
Yeah.
And he usually just follows me around when I, like, just play.
Yeah.
He just wants to play with me.
Okay.
Adventure with me and do stuff.
Oh, nice. That's a good friend. That's a good friend. How about your teachers? Are they really supportive of you?
Yes.
Good. That's awesome. That's the main thing.
I even had one of Kyra's teachers, and this is the year I had her.
Oh, you have her right now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. With that, what about... we got to get to our letter, obviously, but one other question is, like, what about the grandparents and everything? How was Corey's parents? Because you're talking about him coming from Blue Earth. How was that?
That was a rougher road.
Okay.
I think kind of the upside to them being farther from us is that it gave them more time to process things, like, by themselves.
Yep.
Grandpa definitely took it harder.
Yeah.
And he struggled with it for a bit, but his mom was, she is not exactly one to do confrontation, and she's like, you got to figure your stuff out because I'm not losing them.
Oh, so she gave him an ultimatum.
Yep, basically. She's like, you need to figure it out because we're going to see them. We're going to be a part of their lives, and you just need to not screw this up.
Yep. Wow. Well, that's, I mean, she put the foot down.
That's a smart woman right there. That's, I love that.
Very surprising because usually she's like the quiet little supporter, and that just came out of her, and it's like, oh, okay.
Wow.
You know, that kind of reminds me of my mom a little bit too, because she's so funny. She's just this, you know, 5'2".
Oh. Sorry. What was that about?
I don't know. Oh, I know now. You guys keep talking. I'll be right back.
Okay.
It took me a second.
Okay. Hold on. Mr. Moxie has to do something. But
He's going to be right back.
Are you taking over the radio show, Dwayne? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, I think a lot of families, when it comes to rural areas or people that haven't been exposed or have experienced those types of things, it is harder. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. I think of, you know, where I grew up in the community that I was raised in. It was very similar to that. Like, you know, you have the truck drivers, the farmers, the this, the that, the moms who were the secretaries at the school and things like that. And it was very, like, repetitive in that sense, like repetitive careers, repetitive mm-hmm. jobs, etc. You didn't get to see diversity like you do in areas that are much more populated.
Yeah.
You know, with, because you talk about, you know, you've worked through a lot of these feelings and a lot of these moments and everything. How do you do that? Do you go to therapy? Do you journal? Do you have a counselor or anything like that? Like, how do you handle your mental health to help you be better for your kids?
I do therapy. I did. I also am a huge reader, so any of the books I can find.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing was actually going on social media of all things and like finding those spots on the internet.
Okay.
To have the exposure, but also to hear people like the kids who grew up in the not safe homes talk mm-hmm. about like what kind of parents they wish they had, or the community that they have now found versus what they had growing up kind of thing. And just like taking that to heart, like, how can I do this?
Yeah.
And like limit them feeling the expectations of society that we felt, so they can just be and not have to worry about how we're going to react or anything like that.
Totally. Wow.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because sometimes I get the impression that with older generations, you know, you start mentioning things that you didn't necessarily like or were maybe even traumatized by, and they'll just kind of start getting a little defensive sometimes, you know, and they're just
a little,
like, oh, you know, I'm trying to be diplomatic. It's like, okay, look, I'm not saying that you did everything wrong, but there were some issues and, you know, no parent gets it 100% right, no matter what you do. And it's like, you know,
I don't think any person gets it right.
Right. So
uncle, parent, mm-hmm. grandparent,
whoever. Yeah. So I just would stress to people that listen to this episode, like, we're not trying to pin problems on people, but just to say like, hey, you know what? You may have made mistakes in the past, but this is how you can move forward. And part of that is learning and hearing what happened from that other person's perspective so that you can take that with you and hopefully become a better person, a better parent, maybe a better grandparent, you know, like, hey, because I feel like that's one thing I've talked with my parents about. It's like one of the most wonderful things about being a grandparent is you do get to learn and grow and you get to realize like, hey, you know what? I probably didn't maybe, there might have been a better way to do that or to handle that. So it's good for, I think, people to have these online communities where you can share with one another and talk and say like, hey, what have you done? What's worked for you?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's also like you go in being a new parent and like you have this idea of what you're going to do and how you're going to handle things. And fact of the matter is it's all going to blow up in your face.
Yeah. It's all going to go up.
There's no handbook. There's no handbook for that.
There isn't. And like the way we parented Kyler from when he was younger to like how we're doing Nolan is drastically different.
Yep.
And it's, we can't be in this mindset that we've done this part. We know how to do it and just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Like each kid is drastically different. What they need from us is drastically different, but also like things come out that you're like, oh, I didn't realize how problematic it was, or like how the harm that could have been caused here.
Yes.
With what I did here. The thing that I also like is that like gentle parenting is a big thing that's coming out more so.
Yeah.
And now, especially with the bigger platforms, a breaking down of what people think gentle parenting is versus what it actually is.
Yeah.
And like learning boundary is how to help your kids regulate their emotions. You need to regulate your emotions.
Absolutely.
Because that was definitely a big thing to get past. Was sometimes it wasn't even my kid. It was just it triggering something in me that I needed to handle. But talking, being able to apologize to your kid, not have that like, I'm the adult, I don't need to apologize for this mindset was a big thing.
Taking ownership of that, your actions as a parent or their actions as a child.
Like, we're going to mess up. They are going to mess up, and it's okay.
Yep, totally. I think this is a great way to pause, and let's go over to the letter, because I think this letter really kind of encompasses a lot of what we're talking about and what we could kind of give to the listeners here. So, Mr. Moxie, let's go over to letters.
And now it's time for Letters with Moxie.
All right, so here's our letter. Dear Moxie, I have been listening to your show since the first episode. I have found things in your show that have helped me navigate life. Life has been scary in the last few weeks, and I try to protect my child the best I can, but they have since been targeted at school because they look different. Is there something I can do as a parent to help my child navigate the negative comments and protect them more from the world? How do I protect my child when they see hate on the news at night? In the world we are in and about to endure, I fear so many things for my child. My child is a very diverse individual. They are multiracial and queer identifying and trying to live life authentically in a world that fears them and judges them for dressing in a non-traditional gender assigned clothes. Any words of advice, as always, much appreciated. Glamorous in the in-between. There is a lot going on in this letter, but I also feel like that's kind of the theme of most of our letters.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
There's usually a lot to unpack, which is good.
I also like to kind of nod to Stranger Things, the in-between.
Yes.
You know, is that what that's
That's what
from?
That is.
Oh, okay.
Glamorous in the in-between.
I was like, that sounds familiar, but I wasn't sure.
It's like you're stuck between two worlds, basically.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it makes a lot of sense. First of all, I'm sorry that this is our reality where we worry about our children so much in a world like this. It's as a parent, I'm sure your anxiety and your worries are always on high alert when it comes to the world.
So much.
With this letter, what did you take away, Laura, on this listening to Glamorous? Is there anything that you could give as advice from one parent to another?
Well, I feel they feel alone, and they need to find a community in this.
Mm-hmm.
For school things, it's talk to the teachers, principals, get to know your board members, like really find the people that are going to, one, actually listen to you and do something about it, but two, know who the trusted adults are that your kids can go to for when they need something, because they need that also.
Yeah,
because we aren't always going to be in every situation,
right?
And sometimes they just need someone else to go to talk to.
Very much so. When you talk about community, like finding a community and everything like that, is there a community that you go to like socialize with and talk about your feelings through these emotions?
I got lucky, and some of the friends that I've made along the way are very much a part of like the LGBTQ community, that I've been able to go to them with concerns or be like, I need to say the stupid thing out loud.
Yep.
So you can help me like figure out why this is wrong and like change my mindset here. But I also had some surprising, shouldn't really say surprising, because in looking back that wasn't really surprising, but I did have family members that were supportive.
Yep.
So I did have some people help us through, support us in our journey, especially in a world that's like how I viewed like Christians, for example, the thought I had of what a Christian was, how they are supposed to be, and it get basically blown out into space by what we're seeing the loud ones be.
Correct.
And have that,
And I think that's a valid point, because I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I taught Sunday school. I did all the things. I got, baptized, did the acolyting. What is it called? Acolyting? Is that right? Yeah.
I think so.
Where you light the candles on the thing and the thing and, you know, anyway.
Altar.
I couldn't think of the name. On the altar. You light the candles on the altar and you do the whole, yeah, anyways. I did all that. But, you know, I call myself more spiritual than anything. Mm-hmm. And that goes into, I found a community that loves and accepts me, not uses, and I hate to say this because it's very cliche and it's very sad, but we keep hearing people use a book to defy their judgment and their hate. And especially in current events.
Yep.
That has definitely been even more prominent. Mm-hmm. And I know, as a parent, you know, when we vote and things like that, we really think about the next generation. We really think about our children and what they need out of society and what they need from the government to make sure that they have a better tomorrow.
I think that's the hardest thing to go through, is knowing people that are definitely voting a me versus a we in that aspect.
I like that.
That was loaded. Yeah.
Oh, I really, like, really, can you say that one more time?
The me versus we.
I've never heard it put that way, but I love that.
I've seen it sporadically online, and it's really been heavy these past few weeks.
Yeah.
That right. It's definitely that. Like, when you talk to people about, okay, why did you vote for this person on any level? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
for a school board, whoever.
Yep.
A lot of it comes down, well, I need this. I need this from them. This is what we need. This is what, like, my family needs. And, like, that's the farthest their scope goes. Like, mm-hmm. Which isn't bad.
Right.
But no. There's so many different families, communities, and everything that's impacting that. And they're not all the same.
Right. Oh, man, I want to put that on a shirt like that.
Oh, that is
that, like, is. Yeah, it's simple. It's powerful. I mean, it hits it right on the head, because that is actually a conversation I've been having with several people since the election.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's really frustrating me how people are only voting from their perspective.
Yep.
They're not taking the time to think about, well, how is my candidate not only going to support my needs, but the needs of other people,
mm-hmm.
other marginalized groups, other people in society who may not benefit from this person being in power? And that is something that I think we all need to start thinking about when we are voting in the future, of like, hey, yes, it's fine to think about what you stand for and support and want. That's cool. But think about your neighbors. Think about your church members, if you go to church. You know, think about your coworkers, your gunkles, think about the people that you know who are different from you.
I think the hardest part for people is something sounds good and they just don't want to know the negative side.
They don't.
I mean, the biggest one, like, these past few days for us has been what they want, like, the schools to be like.
Sure.
And our youngest is actually in the special ed program. So it's like, what... This sounds great and good, but his is absolutely going to be hit first and not in a great way if we do this.
Yeah, that's, and you got to think about that. Like, okay, there's the headline, mm-hmm. right, of, oh, this is what we're going to do. Okay, cool. Now let's dig into it. Let's get the details.
Yep.
Because, like, here in Northfield, we just recently passed a referendum to do a lot of reconstruction to the high school and also to put in new HVAC systems and all these things. A lot of infrastructure updates. And those are things that everyone will benefit from.
Absolutely.
Because even if they're not students now, they will be at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's something that is going to be an investment for the long term. So when you really dig into that, it's like, yeah, this is a kind of a win-win all around. It's going to cost money for sure, but it's necessary and it's something that people need. So when you are seeing those flashy headlines of like, oh, we're going to pass this to build this or do that or whatever, or we're going to, even sometimes people will say like, well, we're going to cut funding, but it'll save us a lot of money. And it's like, okay, maybe, but at whose expense?
Yep.
So it's just, and I'm not necessarily trying to like sway people to think one way or the other, but just to be like, hey, be critical of things.
Be more cautious.
Look at things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be cautious, be critical, do the research.
And,
you know,
we've talked a lot about, you know, we talk about school boards, we talk about local elections, we talk about everything that happens in a community. You're never going to agree with a politician 100%.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's not the case. But, like, what you said is, like, what's going to benefit not only yourself, but also your family, your friends, your kids, like all of those things. It's a lot to think about. And I know it's hard because you're seeing certain things in your Facebook feed or your friend groups are talking about a certain thing that drives them crazy. And that's why they're voting this way. But really, it's like, okay, but how are you able to say you love and support, but yet you're voting against? Like,
yeah,
it goes back to kind of like it's the we, not a me thing.
Yep.
We have to look at it that perspective. Going back to Glamorous, though, with the letter, you said it perfect. It sounds like they're alone. And when I think about that loneliness, anxiety, depression, like all those feelings, you know, the worries, everything probably manifests for this person.
Oh, yeah.
Especially as a parent. I don't know if this parent is a single parent or if there's a spouse involved. But having someone to bounce things off, because you were just recently talking about Corey and how you've coached and helped him through his. And what is his, he's not here, obviously, but when it comes to defending, whether that's Kyler or Dwayne or whoever, how does he handle it? Does he handle it with a level head, or is it hot-headed? Is it like, how does he approach these hard topics that come into
his
world?
He's definitely more level-headed than I am. I'll go in hot.
You're a little more hot-headed.
Oh, God, yes. he's one of those that's actually really good at, okay, I know who I'm talking to and who they are. Like, am I able to steer this conversation in a way that they might understand it?
Mm-hmm. He knows how to read the room.
Very well. Yeah. And
you know, a lot of people cannot read the room.
No. He's also very good at not trying to like tokenize, well, we have a kid, so you should think about our kid, and versus like, nah, this is the whole community that this is affecting, and this is a different way to be looking at
like
it.
Like, he'll say something like, hey, you know, people who are in the queer community, this could be detrimental towards them.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, not just that. That, gosh, I feel like I'm learning so much today, because that's another thing, tokenizing. That's it's a very slippery slope, because on the one hand, it will come off as like I'm being empathetic because I have these experiences that help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, but as you just said, it makes it more about you as opposed to a group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even with the best of intentions, sometimes it can still be a little bit of a.
You must be pretty proud of your parents, Dwayne. Kyler's over there with a thumbs up. You know, having parents that see you and like really believe in you and want you to be authentic, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know how lucky you are? You're pretty lucky. Are you speechless?
I'm confused how I'm lucky.
You're confused on how you're lucky?
Yes.
I will buy you the band books.
Mom will buy you band books. Mom will teach you things. Mom's going to take you to a drag show.
Well, you know what?
You I bet you a lot of things.
Because your parents have kind of always been like this, right, Dwayne? Like, they've always been really let you express yourself and help you to just kind of navigate life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I think when you have it all the time, it's hard to know that it's special because you don't see the flip side of the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, that's all right. We're just going to make sure that we keep nurturing generations of students and children like you so that hopefully it won't be needed in the future. But
I actually have a question for Dwayne again. If you could give some advice to your generation, like your classmates and everything, what would you say to them when it comes to being more true and authentic and kindness? Is there any advice that you could tell your friends?
That they can just be them and do whatever they want.
Yeah. What does that look like to you? Dressing however, having your hair and whatever you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Have you had friends that you've told that to?
No.
No? Would you though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Laura, what advice would you have for parents who are struggling raising their kids in rural areas? Because you talk about Faribault, you know, thinking about your childhood and what was that?
And Blue Earth.
And Blue Earth,
Blue
yes.
Earth, yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about your childhood, because we've talked a little bit about what it was like growing up in Faribault. You know, like, what's some advice for those parents that are in those communities or different areas? Not that Faribault is bad, because obviously I go to Faribault and it's changed quite a bit. But, you know, over time, these communities have changed and embraced diversity and things like that. Like, I think of, you know, where I grew up, Fergus Falls. I mean, that's changed. They have a Pride Festival now. Red Wing, we just found out, had their first Pride Festival this year. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when you think about that, they can change, they can evolve and do all those things. But what would you, what advice would you have for those communities when it comes to parenting?
I think be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable in the conversations. Read the books that you're unsure about. Mm-hmm. Like, be uncomfortable and sit with it.
I've said that
the best pearls. Like, yeah.
I've said that a few times. You got to sit in the uncomfortable to be comfortable.
You really right. do. Because mm-hmm. even, like, getting used to the queer community and how even with them it's never gonna be the same one way. Like, as soon as you have a visual of a queer person in the community, it's not gonna be the same for the next one you meet. Like, really right. really be in the uncomfortable. Find the things that you see that are like, I don't have a problem with it, but it still makes me feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. And sit with that.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, you can't nowadays, everyone thinks there's a stereotype of a gay man. There's not.
That, like, or like how they expect a trans person to be, yes, kind of thing. Like, that's like,
no, you can't do that. You can't. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own story, their own everything. And I think sitting in that moment of uncomfortability and learning from those people are probably one of the best things that you could ever do for yourself.
Documentaries are amazing.
I was actually just, you took the words out of my mouth. So, what books, podcasts, documentaries, anything that you would recommend for someone who is just looking to kind of broaden their horizons, you know, and something that maybe has helped you? And I will say, I'm gonna gear this towards parents. So, like, for mm-hmm. parents who are raising kids who, you know, they're starting to explore and figure things out and explore their identity, is there anything you could point people to, be like, yes, watch this, read this, listen to this?
For parenting specifics, like, it's not LGBTQ specific, but I feel like a lot of it can just be around that.
Sure.
Mama Cusses is my favorite on TikTok, just because she's also, she talks about, like, her trauma.
Mama Cusses?
Yep, C-U-S-S-E-S. She also just came out with a book mm-hmm. that is very her, and I love it for it.
Okay, and this is a TikTok content creator?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's a good one for, like, parenting, and she's definitely one that hates the term gentle parenting and explains, but she does gentle parent kind of thing, so, like, sure. breaking those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, your favorite books that we read is probably Jake's New Dress.
Jake's New Dress?
Yep. Or okay. Jake, is it Jake or Jacob's New Dress?
Jacob's.
It might be Jacob's New Dress.
Jacob's New Dress, okay.
And Dog Man.
Captain Underpants does not help me here, sir. what's the other one you have? My Name's Jazz, or I'm Jazz.
I'm Jazz
is another good
actually,
one.
Oh, actually, I think from I've the heard TV that. Show, right?
Isn't there an I Am Jazz TV show?
I have
no
idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Documentary is, there is actually Pray Away on Pray Netflix.
Away. Okay. I have seen that one.
Yeah. Oh.
That one's loaded.
A movie I just recently watched, it was called Girl, and that's about a trans girl. That,
okay.
That's giving more of the kid's perspective on that, though.
Sure. Yeah.
There's one book that I'm looking up real quick, because I was going to, lo and behold, it's actually going to be a gift for one of the kids this holiday season. It's called My Gunkle and Me.
Aww.
So it's a story between
an uncle
yeah.
and a kid.
Yep, exactly. It's a short little, like, cartoon story, super kid friendly.
Wait,
I forgot a book?
Yeah.
What book did I forget?
It was the uncle that was, like,
doing the, like, I forgot.
The drag queen?
Yeah, drag queen.
Is that, isn't it my auntie, my uncle?
Yeah, something? That one.
Auntie, uncle.
Auntie, uncle. Yep. Yeah, because I'm trying to think. I think we got that for Peyton.
So while you're looking that up, Mrs. Moxie, so just to kind of recap here so far, we've got Mama Cusses, which is a TikTok creator, but also came out with a book. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Jacob's New Dress, which is a book as well. I'm Jazz. I am Jazz.
Something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. Another book. And then we've got Pray Away and Girl, which are documentaries.
Pray Away is a documentary. I think Girl technically wasn't listed as a documentary. Okay. It was just inspired by.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, okay. There's another show that I told you to watch, and it's called The Secrets of the River.
Yep, which is on my list.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then My Gunkle and Me was another book.
And then Auntie Uncle Drag Queen Hero is the one that we're talking about. Auntie Uncle Drag Queen Hero.
Yep.
Sorry. You know, the list can go on. There are so many things that are banned.
There is. And the nice part is that once you actually get on that side of media, then you really start getting like, oh, if you're looking for these things, here's some more book recommendations. Or if you like this podcast, listen to this one.
Right. Well, yep, it's interesting because they're taking so many books that shouldn't even be banned. Like, not that we need to go into a book banning conversation right now.
Yeah, it's...
Like, one that I just read that they're getting rid of or that they want to ban is... And Tango Makes Three. Have you heard
it's
that?
It's so cute.
Yes, that one like, is one of my favorites.
There are some books that it's like, I don't, what, why are we mad?
That is about two male penguins that found an egg and the egg hatches and they raise it.
Like, which is actually really common with penguins to start with, too.
So common.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's actually based on scientific fact. Yes.
Well, and also, I read this article where they were talking about how, homophobia is actually only found in one species.
Humans. Us.
Yep.
Humans.
Because wildlife don't care.
Yep.
Yep.
And it is heavy there, too.
There's been quite a few documented species that have shown same-sex coupling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's been, I think, at least 20 documented species where they've seen same-sex animals, and they'll like be coupled together. Because that's another thing that's actually not all that uncommon in the animal kingdom.
Just
something to think about.
Yep. But, you know, you think about all this support or the clubs that you can be a part of to learn and grow. There's the possibilities are endless. It's just trying to find those people and those places that you can connect with.
Yeah.
We just talked about books and stuff and like documentaries. Is there any like social media stuff that you follow? As far as parenting goes, you said you're TikTok lady, but is there any like support groups that you meet with?
I don't. I actually reached out to a friend of mine who has a trans kid and was like, do you have any? Because like, I haven't heard much. And she follows a group called Transforming Families.
Okay.
So it's more for trans families, but I know you can't really take out the community and all this. So they do touch base on a lot of other things also.
Yeah.
I also just try to find families that are like they're not technically doing it for parenting or anything like that. Like, I think it was the McLeod family was one that I had found a while ago, and her middle, cause she, adopted all three of her kids.
Okay.
Started expressing like he did.
Okay.
But had come out trans last year, I think.
Okay.
So just seeing the family embrace the joy and the journey along with it helped a lot. Even finding family is like, oh, I can't think of their name. There's one I came across. It's two dads and they have two little toddlers and they just showed like their morning routine. It's the cutest little thing, but just finding that just to follow and get used to, like just the exposure it has helped so much.
Totally.
And I would really encourage anyone out there listening, no matter who you are, you know, even if you're just the most typical mom, dad, 2.5 children, you know, like whatever, like no matter what
2.5 children,
that's the Nolan's national average. Yeah. The nuclear family.
Oh, okay. I was like,
she knew where I was going.
I did not know where you're going. I was like,
it's the statistical average.
Do they not
children.
Have legs? Like, what are we talking about? Got it. Okay. Yeah. National average. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, was. I mean, was. I'm sure that's quite changed a bit since, but. It's
about to change a whole lot more.
Right?
Yeah.
Anywho, but like, just take the time to check out any one of these things, you know, because I think that if you are having a hard time understanding this other side, you know, and understanding where people are coming from, the best thing you can do is to to consume media that is created by people like this, you know, and just to try it, because you would be amazed at how much even just watching a few TikTok videos or reading a book or watching a documentary can shift your perspective and just make you stop and be like, huh. You know, like,
I would even say that for people that think that they're allies too, because like there's so many that are like, I'm an ally, and that's where it stops. And it's like, no.
We have been having that conversation, and let me tell you what, with the election, it has really called into question, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Yep.
And that could honestly be a whole other episode.
That could very well be a whole other
episode.
But yeah. You're absolutely right. When you consider yourself an ally, it's not just showing up to Drag Story Hour or going to a Pride Festival.
Yep.
It's down to the local elections. It's down to if someone is trolling somebody online. Hi. Victim over here. I'm gonna play a victim here. You know, I've been trolled online multiple times, and to watch, I've seen you defend me online. I've seen other people defend me online. And, you know, that's what an ally is. Someone who stands up for those underdogs and for those people that are being repressed.
And actually, I will add in, when you have had instances of that, I love reading the comments, because you'll see those negative comments, which is unfortunate, but then people will respond back, but they won't necessarily engage with that person. They'll just like say something kind of in response to it. Then they'll be like, you know, someone,
what about that?
Something really clever where it was like, because someone was commenting about how you were like grooming children or indoctrinating children.
Are you talking about the one that said, oh, at least this one's wearing clothes?
Something like that or whatever.
Yeah.
No, but it was like,
yeah, someone said
but
that.
But someone
to me.
Said in response, like, more
it's all good.
Dwayne's all getting good. A little antsy. It's okay.
Someone getting fired up.
Said in response, like, oh, more like, you know, trying to make him more fabulous or something. You know, like it was just, and people were like, you are like slaying, and it was just so cool to see how it's like, we're gonna respond, but we're not necessarily gonna like engage that person. We're just gonna counteract it. You know, and I like that, because we all know if you start engaging with people directly online, it can just turn into a whole like ping pong match, and it devolves really quickly. And especially with certain people who they've just made up their mind, and you know, if you know how to read the room.
That, or I've done a Google search, so I know everything.
Yeah, and it's just like, no. You know, the best.
I think, still learning as a gay man. Like, I'm still learning about the community. Like,
yeah,
that's part of.
And I think the best approach is just
people thinking that it just kind of stops.
No,
like, you know, like it's always changing.
Exactly. Always changing. We learn there's terms. Like, I remember, do you remember when queer was like the word that you do not say?
Yeah. It was just a really like the derogatory word, like, term.
It was such a derogatory term. And now
we've
very
turned it around.
Common, and we use it as a description of the community. Like, things have changed so much, and we're never going to not learn something from each other.
Yep. And I know that can be really hard and confusing for people, especially older generations, because they're like, wait a minute, 20 years ago, that wasn't a word people said. Like, that was a really bad word. And I'm like, you're right. It was then, but that was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We turned it around.
Things never stop changing.
That's right.
Correct.
And I think as human beings, we need to realize that, like, we never stop learning. You know, it's like, just because you left school 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago doesn't mean that you're still not a student of your own life and of your own culture.
We have some of those people in our family that are like, they're not in school and they're such an age as though, like, well, this isn't how it was when I grew up.
You're like, yeah.
Okay, well, you're still alive, aren't you? You're still growing,
there also
sir.
Was no internet right. when you were in school, and there was no social media, and there was no this, there was no that, like. Look at the time frame. Like, obviously our world has changed dramatically. Like, before, you used to have to go to like an encyclopedia to find a description of something. I just Google everything now. Like, everything is so easily
You didn't have the big World Encyclopedia books in
I
your
did.
House.
I did have those in elementary. I used yep. I used was them taught all the time. How to use encyclopedias because I was...
Or the Dewey Decimal System.
You know what's funny? I didn't learn... Well, no, I did. I did. I've forgotten it since. But, like, I was of that age, so I am technically a millennial, technically, but just barely, because I was of that. I had personal computers at a pretty young age, but it was all still so new that we were transitioning. So I still learned how to use an encyclopedia. I still learned how to look up information literally by the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then as computers and the internet became more pervasive and part of our life, then I transitioned into that. So I saw both sides.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't just, oh, I grew up with a tablet in my hand. It's like, nope, I learned... I started off with encyclopedias, and then by the time I was in high school, we were getting into the cell phone era, and internet was pretty much everywhere, and, you know, all this stuff.
Or when dot-coms could not be used as a reliable source.
Yes.
I actually miss those days.
It has to be a .gov or a .org.
Right.
So, but to the point of, okay, yes, that is different from how things were done in your day, and that's fine. But why can't you adjust? Why can't you learn? And I'm not saying you even necessarily have to completely change your mind, but can't you at least take it into consideration?
Yeah.
With talking about, you know, all these things that we're learning and growing and finding clubs and people that we can talk to and, you know, really connect with on these levels. Have you ever done any in-person support stuff? Like, have you ever gone to, like, a meeting? Like, I know we talk about, you know, sorry, my microphone just ran away from me. We talk about this with your mom. She went to PFLAG. Like,
she did.
You know, there's groups that can help and your community and everything. And I know here in Northfield, we have, like, Northfield Pride and we have, like, outreach that you can do in this community. Is there anything that you do? Or have done, I should say.
Not for the LGBTQ community. Like, there's a lot more there for the students than there is for the adults. A lot of the stuff that they do for the adults are definitely more cultural-based than, like, LGBTQ is.
So you're talking about Lakeville School District?
Well, Rosemont, that whole area.
Okay, we
try to check anywhere that's near us. But, like, they don't have a pride up there, which is... still very weird to me, but like they started doing Juneteenth festivals, you know, so like it's a lot easier to go to things like that, but when they don't even do even a small pride.
Totally. So, you know, I think that's one thing that I hope the listeners are listening, because, you know, don't just look at your community.
Hope the listeners are listening.
Shut up. Rude. What I'm trying to get at is, like, those that are listening to us, I hope you understand that, like, don't just look in your community. Look at your surrounding areas. Look at what's available in other districts.
That's why we come to you.
And we appreciate it.
We appreciate that. I'm glad that your family and you have really enjoyed what we've been doing and everything, because that means a lot that it's going unnoticed. Like, you guys are noticing. Not unnoticed. I said that wrong. I'm great with words today.
I think what you're trying to get at is that we appreciate the support from all areas
of
the metropolitan Minneapolis, St. Paul area, because we want to make sure that anyone anywhere, whether you're urban, suburban, rural, that you have a space where you can come to. And I know that Northfield is kind of on the cusp of the metro area, and it's something that it's not always going to be necessarily the most exciting place in the world. But, you know, it is, it's a hidden treasure, and it's full of surprises.
It is. And you know, the community just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
It really does.
And more diverse every day.
We continuously are meeting people here from the queer community, from just all kinds of backgrounds, people who are from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. I mean, I would say we've actually met more people here who are transplants to Northfield as opposed to people who like grew up here their whole lives and everything. Right. And it's really cool because, but then we've also met that group as well. And it's really fun because we kind of get to see both sides of things. Mm-hmm. Like we have three neighbors and our neighbors have been in Northfield for, you know, at least 20, 30 years or more. So like they can tell us the things that have happened in the past, which is great. And then we have people who have maybe only been here for 3 or 5 years like us. And it's like, yeah, we're figuring it out too. So yep. It's a really cool blend.
Yeah. So it's been very nice to see the diversity come together and really embrace everything in this community.
Well, and we've said it, I feel like we're
repetitive.
Yeah, but I just can't say it enough. Like, this community has just embraced us in ways that I never would have dreamed of. Yeah. I mean, we really lucked out coming to Northfield.
Yeah.
And
but I'm glad that you also have a connection with your communities, and mm-hmm. whether that's in Lakeville or if you go to Rosemount, for these communities that help and support you as a parent and the kids, you know, like, that's a huge thing. With all that being said and everything, and we look at where we're at now with the queer community or just in general with inclusivity, if you think about the past, I mean, the stigma on being gay or being different, I mean, it was a scary time. Like, think of the 80s alone. Like, just,
well, even the 90s,
it was, I mean, all of it.
It's only, you know, I think people forget, because we've had this conversation recently with some friends, where queer rights, from a legal perspective and in our laws, have only become more robust within the last 10 to 20 years.
Yep.
You know, gay marriage in Minnesota, that was 2014. That was not that long ago. Like, I remember we got married right like a year later. So it was still brand new. And luckily we had this really great judge who, she actually had scripts for both your traditional heterosexual couples and homosexual couples. And, you know, it was really cool. I was like, wow, you are on the ball, you know, but
Judge Leslie.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's also fragile.
Yes.
You know, and that's where we have to be so careful. And then especially when you are looking even beyond, I don't know what the word is, because I feel like traditional and typical don't capture it, but like beyond people who are identifying just as like gay or lesbian, but transgendered, that's, I feel like, still very much a frontier that we're just starting to blaze, and we're just starting that part of it, and that is even more fragile. Mm-hmm. That is even more like, it's there and we're kind of fighting for it, but we still have a very, very long way to go for, now I would say not just transgender, but transgender, non-binary, gender fluid, like all mm-hmm. these people who are really trying to break down gender norms and roles and stereotypes. And that's another big uphill battle we still have ahead of us.
Well, and I was just thinking, because you brought up trans and like the awareness and everything, I remember me and you have talked about Mercury Stardust.
I was just gonna say, she's one of my favorites to watch.
Oh my god, she's amazing.
Make the comments to the trolls. Like, going back to that, she can come up with the best.
Do you know who Mercury Stardust is?
I don't.
The trans handy ma'am?
The trans handy ma'am.
I don't think so.
Huge TikTok star.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. Yeah. I will admit, I kind of rely on Mrs. Moxie to keep me in tune with.
I thought this would have been up your alley.
She
does all of the home fixers and everything.
You do realize that's me, not him.
Yeah.
But aren't you corrupting him?
What?
Aren't you teaching him along the way?
I try, but then I get frustrated and I say, go sit down.
So maybe he really does need to watch Mercury then.
He does need to watch Mercury.
I might, because I will admit, I'm not a particularly handy person, and I wish I was. But then, like, I try to teach myself some stuff, and I'm like, I just don't care. Well, I'm just going to hire someone to do it.
The reason why I bring up Mercury is because she is very much an ally, not only in the community, but she fights for him. Like, think about how much money she raises each year with her fundraiser, where she goes live for TikTok for what is it, 48 hours or something like that? I'm trying to remember how long it is.
I want to say 72.
Is it 72 hours?
It was a few days.
Yeah, and she raises millions of dollars. Yep. For the trans community.
While you two are talking, I'm actually looking at Mercury Stardust on my
TikTok. I was telling my dad about her. I'm like, you would love her because she's got all of the dad jokes.
All the time.
And
all the time.
He's always got the weird ways on how to fix things at home, or like the ways that you don't think of. Like they make sense when he says it, but it's like, oh, I would not have thought
Mrs.
of that.
Mrs. Moxie is, no pun intended, the queen of MacGyvering things, as we like to call it. I am.
Yep. And I love MacGyvering.
Mercury does that.
With Mercury, has that also helped you understand, you know, diversity or like not dressing the norm?
I think that's helped. Yes, I do. And I definitely think it's helped Corey a ton. Mm-hmm. Because getting out of that mindset that, like, the expectation is that if you're a boy and you're wearing, or mask presenting, that you wear a dress, then you must be trans. And that's not where it starts and ends.
Right.
So getting used to seeing, because we've been following her since, I want to say almost since the beginning of her journey. So she was still very mask presenting, mm-hmm. and getting used to be like, seeing that with just makeup on, or even
her hair is really cool too.
She just re-dyed it too. And it looks
What isn't it blue now?
It is again.
Yep, it's blue again.
But getting used to that, or even like Dylan Mulvaney.
Oh, Dylan!
When she started her journey too, like that was chaos in itself.
Right.
But getting, just sitting in that space and listening to her talk and what she's going through, but also seeing the hate she mm-hmm. accumulates online, mm-hmm. like it really puts a different spin on it.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. With Dwayne's playing a video game right now. I love it.
Pokemon.
With when you talk about hate and stuff, and we talk about, you know, how we shouldn't let it affect us. Is there times where it has affected you mentally where it's so hard?
I'm a very empathic person. Everything does.
Yep.
It's so draining.
How do you take care of that? How do you help yourself get out of that moment?
Therapy. Therapy, yeah. Talking it through with Corey. And honestly, sometimes that's my best time to recognize that I need to take a step back and just sit in the spaces for a bit, mm-hmm. and like regroup myself. We have such a variety of people in our family and our friends in the queer community that it's seeing the hate, even if it's not specifically addressed to them, is kind of hard not to take to heart, because mm-hmm. If you knew this person for who they are, would you really say that to them?
Right.
Because like even hearing the offhand comments from the older people in our family, like, would you really look at my kid and say those things?
Right.
The kid that you love to praise about how funny he is and how silly he is and how he just lights up the room kind of thing. Like, would you really?
Yeah.
I think people try so hard to other them, to not make them people in their mind. It's easy to put that hate there.
I apologize. You're talking about a very serious thing, and Dwayne's just making these funny faces. I'm like, I totally get what you're saying right now.
He's very excited about his Pokemon battle.
Oh, I love it.
But, you know, you have a good point there. It going back, sitting in that uncomfortability, whether that's something that you agree with or disagree, you just have to sit in it and think about it for a hot minute and just really dissect it all.
Well, it's even also just like when I sit back, sometimes it's just helping me recognize that, no, this is the right path. Like, I just need to stay focused.
Actually, one question that you made me think of, when you are dealing with folks who, I would say particularly adults, mm-hmm. when they are making those little, not outwardly like cruel or mean comments, but kind of passive aggressive comments, you know, the little microaggressions.
It's just a joke.
Yes, exactly. How have you handled that in the moment? Or have you just kind of let it go, like kind of disregarded it, or have you actually addressed it?
You usually be like, did that really just come out of your mouth?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Like, seriously?
You're like, that was not funny.
Yeah.
You're like, it was just a joke. And it's like, cool, can we try this kind of a joke?
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, so you kind of turn it around on them and be like, might want to think about that.
Don't like it, or... I try not to tokenize, but if I know someone that we mutually have, I'm like, would you say that to them? Because if the answer is no, let's not.
Right. And see, I think that's a good situation where you can use your personal experiences and the person you have that relationship with to be like, hey, come on now. You deal with this stuff too. You experience this. Like, you know better.
A lot of the time, it's not the same, but it is.
But it is the same.
Absolutely.
Oh, all the wisdom right
all
here.
All the wisdom.
We're getting
like, there's, even with some of the people I've been talking to these past few weeks, they're like, well, this is just my opinion on this. I'm like, your opinion stopped as soon as you voted for certain people.
Correct.
Because you were voting for their opinions and their take on these.
Mm-hmm. And you're only thinking about yourself, not others.
You thought about one topic.
Correct.
And said, this sounds good, regardless of what anyone else said or the negative, like... the articles that came out saying this is how it's going to negatively affect us.
Yeah.
And just said, cool, I'm good with it.
Yep, totally. With that being said, let's just take a little bit of break and go hear from Lindsay from the Grand. I think we need to take a little breather after all that heaviness.
Sounds good. We'll hear from Lindsay Ness with the Grand Events Center on Out in the Open with the Moxies, 95.1 FM, KYMN, and 1080 AM. We'll be right back. And we're back on Out in the Open with the Moxies on KYMN 95.1 FM and 1080 AM, The One. And we just heard from our sponsor, Lindsay Ness of the Grand Events Center. So now we're going to wrap it on up, take it home with Mrs. Moxie.
You know, today has been really interesting and we've gotten a lot of little takeaways from today.
Mm-hmm.
The one that really sticks out to me is we need to think about we and not just me. You know, when you said that, like, When you talk about a community, you can't lead a community when you're only thinking about yourself. When you are voting or in a work environment, like, you can't just think about yourself. It takes a team and it takes a village. Just like parenting, it takes a village to raise, you know, healthy, happy kids. And
chaos goblins.
Did you say goblins?
Chaos goblins.
Chaos goblins. I love it. You know, and like you said, you surround yourself with the people that are like-minded like you and that view the same things that you do. When we talk about, you know, viewing and censorship as parents, you know, in that letter they talked about the news. Like, do you allow your kids to really watch the news?
No.
No. So what do you do to educate your children on what's going on in the world?
Like, we talk with them about what's going on. They just hear it from us versus
Fox News,
News. Online. Well, not even just Fox, just any
it's
NRL.
Yeah.
Because the hard part about the news is that you don't always know what topics are being brought up.
Correct. You can't control the narrative.
No. And like this one, this big one over here, is very much like me, that he can kind of jump the gun on something and it's like, nah, let's take that back and talk about this.
Yep.
So we can talk about book bans. And his first comment is like, what stupid people are trying to do that? And it's like, no, let's
have a discussion.
These are the books. These are their concerns. How do we feel about it? Like, what do we think, kind of thing? And we try to reel that back in. And as hard as it can be being on the negative side of someone else's view, we try to make it important that we understand it.
Yep.
Just to be able to continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't just stop with, well, they're dumb.
Right. Know? When you think of parenting, because we're talking about raising our kids to have kindness and empathy for a lot of things, have you ever been called too gentle of a parent or anything like that? You know, because there's a stigma when you're trying to raise your children and you're being kind and you're listening to them and everything, you're almost being too soft. like from that older generation. You know where I'm going with that?
I do. I haven't had it directed towards me.
Okay.
But yeah, that's another reason why I liked Mama Cusses, is because people think that gentle parenting is permissive.
Yep.
And it's not even in the slightest.
It's almost harder.
We're setting boundaries. We're learning about emotions, how to regulate theirs and ours. Like, this is not an easy feat.
I apologize. I know you mentioned it earlier already. Mm-hmm. Could you just real quickly summarize what is good parenting or gentle parenting? Because I missed it.
A gentle parenting is where it's emotion based.
Okay.
I think is the best way to describe it. Mm-hmm. So you're teaching kids from a young age to recognize their emotions, to name them, and to help regulate them.
Oh, okay. So it'd be like, hey, I feel sad right now.
Yeah. Like, so like our big thing at the house, which might have been Mama Cusses or Tori Phantom, the one that she always pairs up with, was you can be mad but not mean.
Mm.
And that's definitely been a hard one for the kids.
Yeah.
Is making it everyone else's problem when you're mad.
Yep.
I don't know. Why did I point at you?
So it's like, hey, if you're having a bad day and you're getting real short fused and you're just not having it, that's fine, but you can't take it out on other people and be
then
like,
we need to talk about it.
It's like, you need to tell me, like, how are you feeling? You're feeling angry right now? Okay, let's have a quick conversation about that. What's going on?
You should see Nolan right now because he's learning all he is. So like this morning, are you mad? Yeah. Are you frustrated? Yeah. Are you sad? No.
Okay. At least he identifies it. That's the main thing, identifying it. Yep. Wow.
So it's a lot of that, and setting and holding boundaries.
Okay.
With the kids too.
So like if someone is feeling mad about something, and then once they've identified the feeling and expressed it, then do you say, okay, so like here's how you can deal with it, but you can't, like, you can go to your room, listen to some music to like help maybe try and calm yourself down, but you can't
go pick on your brother. Just
pick on your
better.
Brother. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. Nice.
Wow.
I like that.
Another thing we talked about today, it's just to recap a little bit more. We talked about sitting in the uncomfortability, and you know, I've said that for a while because sometimes we have to sit in the uncomfortable. We have to sit in our emotions, our feelings, and sometimes our anger, our frustration, all those things. When you have those moments, what advice could you give for parents that are sitting in the uncomfortableness, especially when it comes to a child that is identifying in other ways than they originally thought that their child would identify? Like, their son's now wearing a skirt. Their daughter wants to shave their head. Like, how do you sit in those, and how do you be an advocate for your child when you're struggling with it, you know?
The thing that I learned mostly because online was, there's a Black creator I follow that was, you need to journal your feelings before coming in my comment section. Oh. And it was actually very eye-opening on how to not just let your gut reaction or your knee-jerk reaction like just send you.
Yep.
So if you're uncomfortable with it, and even if you don't want to sit in social media and try to figure it out, like sit in the feelings and write it down, but then reflect back on it and be like, why is this making me uncomfortable? And that's where, like, with us, clothes and nail polish and stuff are morally neutral. It's looking back on how, is this good? Is this bad? And by whose standards?
You know, that's such a good point, because weirdly enough, I've just been kind of learning some of this myself from a different reason, but kind of applies. We apply morality to really odd things.
Yeah, like clean houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clean houses.
Oh my God.
Clothes. Right. I mean, just
labels.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It does not exist in our house.
Blood like, limit does not exist. Sorry, Mean Girls quote.
That was great. I mean, truly though, you think about how we describe things, you know, like when you think of like, oh, I am such a bad mom, I didn't clean my house today, or oh, I shouldn't be having that donut, that's bad, you know. I mean, it's just all these things, because like that's one thing I've been learning, is not to apply morality to food.
Growing up in diet culture.
Yeah. That's a big one. So it applies to a lot of things. And, you know, when you think about gender expression and identity, and people are like, well, they're a boy. They shouldn't be wearing a dress or a pink shirt or whatever.
Sissy.
Yeah,
like why? Sissy. Why did we do that?
Why are we putting a label on it?
Clothing.
And why are we making like femme
right? It's
expressions
not a problem.
Negative right. in this connotation? Yeah. Like, why are we doing that?
I actually watched this one TikTok video that I cannot unsee this now that I've had it pointed out to me. It was a mom talking about gender expression with boys and girls clothing, and she was talking about animals on kids' clothes because girls' clothing, I should say, always has prey like animals. So like bunnies and kitten, you know, like little animals that are
soft.
Oftentimes prey in a ecosystem.
I remember.
And then
about
boys
this,
always have like dinosaurs, sharks, tigers. They always have predator animals. And I was like, and now anytime I go into like a Target or something, I was like, oh my God. She's like, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, or if you see, if you happen to see a dinosaur on a girl's clothes, it's always decked out in glitter and rainbows.
Yep, because
you can never find
has
that
a
in the
bow on it or something.
They can't ever be portrayed as like ferocious or strong or anything. It's always going to be gentle and demure and like, oh, it's cute. And, yeah, like. Very demure, very
demure.
Mindful.
Very mindful.
Anyone who's listening, like, oh, I can hear the eye rolls, but
it is true. like those things are something that people don't notice, and
it's a lot of subliminal messaging.
Mm-hmm.
But you think
even
about
when we watch movies, it's the same thing. Like the
gender stereotypes.
Oh
are
my gosh! So
rewatching
pervasive.
Old shows.
It's oh,
been
oh,
breaking
right?
my heart.
Okay, give me an example. I want to hear one show you're thinking of right now.
Gilmore Girls.
I know that is one that I think of.
I have watched that show from beginning to end at various stages in my life. So I loved it when it first came out because I could relate so much to Rory. And then as
how
a younger
parent.
How old
were you when it first came out?
I was in high school.
So you were, okay, yeah.
Yeah
so you
I was
were
like,
in those, like
not far off
years.
From her age kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I watched it again when I was still a new mom for this giant over here and could start to relate to why Lorelai was doing the thing she was doing.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I watched it either last year or the year before, so fairly recent. And I was like, this is all very fucking toxic. Like,
oh, did you just pull the Laura? Beep. Write that down. Write down that time so we can beep that.
But it's all very toxic, and that's not healthy.
Correct.
On so many levels. So like looking back at shows like that, like I can still appreciate what it meant to me in the moment.
Absolutely.
But I could not in good faith ever suggest it to anyone for these reasons.
But you know what's interesting too? You look at that show. So one of the main characters is Paris, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Paris was always seen as like the tough, kind of almost unlikable, like villain. Yeah,
she
kind
has
of.
Such the short stick.
She really
but
did.
But really, she was an empowering woman.
Because she was smart. She was ambitious. She
and when
was
you watch the reboot on Netflix, she was the most successful. Mm-hmm.
She was. And it's always so funny to me because when it's one of the biggest double standards in media, when women are portrayed as ambitious, smart, hardworking, go-getting, all that stuff, they're seen as a... But if a man does it, they're go-getter, they're successful, they're headstrong, they're, you know, they're just out there to get it. And it's like, okay,
right.
So this is two very different messages here, purely based on gender, even though they're exhibiting the same personality traits.
Correct.
So just a little food for thought.
Well,
sorry, we kind of got on a tangent.
Yeah, we got on a tangent, but I just thank you for. I know this was also nerve wracking for you to come do this.
You did great.
You did
really
awesome.
Did. And you have some wonderful pearls of wisdom to take away
you
from
do.
All this.
And
you
know,
say that now. We're going to come back to this and you're going to be like, what was she talking about?
No,
no,
I
absolutely
honestly,
not. No.
Some of the things you've said today, it was like an arrow, just like, pew, you know, like, and it just hit right here in the best way. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the perfect way to summarize that.
And as a parent, you're never going to get it right. Like, you're not going to get it right.
You're not going to be all-knowing. Your perspective and your thought process is going to change, and it's okay to just let it.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, and when it comes to raising your kiddos, you know, each one is different.
Oh my goodness.
And you have to parent them very different ways. some might be harder to, you know, parent some days, and some are very easy listeners. You
some
know?
Is just like you, and it's very triggering.
Shots fired. You know, and I think of Dwayne as, you know, this beacon of light and energy. Well, all your kids are, because I watch all of them.
He's so like
Kyler too. We're including you in this.
Yes.
He's a little hopeful hermit. Dwayne is a very hopeful
extrovert.
Oh my god, like he needs to shine his light everywhere.
Too, Kyler. It's okay.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And Nolan's definitely like everyone's cheerleader.
Yeah. Well, and I think of, you know, like you guys coming to Northfield Pride and watching Dwayne just flourish in that crowd of people to be authentically.
It was so nice to finally get to see him, because the first year we came, he was like, well, I want to go up there and do that. But he was just too shy to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this year he just grabbed it. He was like, I'm going up there.
Good.
Aww. Bye.
That's awesome.
You know, and for any parent that's out there who is struggling with. For any parent who is out there struggling, you know, to understand their child more and everything, you don't have to understand. You just need to love and support and be there and be their biggest cheerleader.
I think that can be the hardest thing for some people, is that if they don't understand, they don't know, like they don't know how to handle it.
Yep.
You don't need to understand.
Correct.
You just need to listen to them and mm-hmm. love them and support them. That's it.
Yep. And let them blossom. Don't be an extinguisher. Mm-hmm. Don't try to hold them back.
I think the hardest thing to hear when this all first started with Dwayne, where people were being like, well, what if it's just a phase? I would much rather support my kid through every phase than dismiss him in his most crucial moment.
Absolutely.
Well, and okay, let's run with that for a second. Even if it is just a phase, it's clothes, it's hair.
Yeah, who's it hurting?
Yeah, who cares?
Let it be a phase. Let yeah. me have all these pictures and videos of my kid causing chaos in a dress, right? Because I made him happy in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. If nothing else, it would just be great memories to have and to look back on. You know, I mean, come on.
Yep.
So
very true.
Well, we should talk about our other song.
Yes, I was just going to say, with that being said, thank you all for being here.
Yes.
Kyler, you've been so patient.
You have.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yes, so thank you for being here. Dwayne's out playing with Ginger out there.
Yep.
Christy, your dog's here. Thanks for that. You know, as we close this show, this was Parenting with Kindness with our special guests, Dwayne, Laura, and Kyler Hermanson. Thank you all for being here. We're closing this show out with one of my favorite songs. I don't know if you've heard this one, but it's called Hurt People. It's by Brandon Stansell and Cam. Brandon, we featured a few times on the show. We had him on one of your episodes.
He was on the Mother's Day episode.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And he's always been a huge cheerleader. He actually came out to his family and everything and basically doesn't have a relationship with his family. So it's very hard to not feel what he's feeling in this song. And you know, the whole song premise is hurt people hurt people. And I think that's very true in our society, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The person that's also featured on this is called Cam. Cam's full name is actually Cameron Marvel O-C-H-S. Osh?
Ochus.
Ochus. But they go by Cam.
Sure.
So they're known as their artist name is Cam. And Cam has been on a mission to drive inclusivity, and she joined Casey Musgraves actually on her mission to embody the queer community. She's 31 years old. She had a breakout song called Burning House. If you haven't heard that one, that was such a poetic song. It's amazing. And recently she, Cam went through this whole recycle of queer topics and trying to find her gay community in Nashville and making it totally natural to embrace LGBT fans, just like Casey Musgraves does. And she actually says Casey is actually her girl crush. So it's really funny to see other artists supporting other artists and then also supporting these marginalized groups and really being advocates and allies, just like you are as a parent and being there for your children. So this is Hurt People by Brandon Stansel and Cam. And I hope you enjoyed this wonderful episode of Parenting with Kindness. And we can't wait to see you next. Mr. Moxie, is there anything else you want to add?
I can't think of anything at the moment. I think we've had another great episode here on Out in the Open.
Yeah. So thank you again for tuning in to Out in the Open with the Moxies. Actually, that's our new title. It used to be just me. Out in the Open with the Moxies. The Moxies now. So thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you next month. XOXO, Mrs. M.
Bye.
Mama was raised in a little house right on the Georgia line. Middle of three to a mother who drank way too much sometimes. She left home when she turned 18 for a different kind of life. She fell for somebody with some southern charm she thought just might treat her right. She became a mother, became a wife, and they got used to the way they'd fight. So the cycle keeps going. Now it's his heart that's broken. You can hide your scars, ignore your pain, but it all comes out in other ways. And you don't know when, so you're living on pins and needles. So we do our best getting through our days, but deep down it feels like we're all the same. Nobody is good, nobody is evil, but hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. I knew they wouldn't understand, but I told them anyway. And 10 years later, I'm still waiting for time to heal this pain. My daddy said, I want you to know that we're not proud of you. So I left home all on my own, just like hurt people do. They always told me, got your mother's eyes, and I saw it clearly as we both cried. And the cycle keeps going, and now it's my heart that's broken. Oh, you can hide your scars, ignore your pain, but it all comes out in other ways. And you don't know when, so you're living on pins and needles. So we do our best getting through our days, but deep down it feels like we're all the same. Nobody's good, nobody's evil, but hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Nobody's good, nobody's evil. Nobody's good, nobody's evil. But hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people.